Well, good morning.
Glad to be here today and thankful for each one that's able to be here. I was impressed, woke up this week one morning with this thought on my mind, feel like the Lord inspired us to speak to us about integrity today. So I'd like to talk to you first about the definition that I have. Integrity means wholeness, entireness, unbroken state. The entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness, honesty. Integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but has a special reference to uprightness and mutual dealings, transfers of property, and agencies for others. Another part of the definition is purity, genuine, unadulterated, unimpaired state, such as the integrity of language. That was an example that was given. So, as we look at integrity today, I would venture that all of us have a good estimation of integrity as far as what we would think the value of it is. I'd like to begin over in Job. Job is a man that I believe all of us would say Job had integrity. And I would like to begin in chapter 2, in verse 3. Maybe we'll read verse 1 along with it. And I want us just to take a setting. I have four verses or four places in Job we want to refer to primarily, and would like to draw some conclusions from this and maybe some illustrations that will try to help us know how to value it and all. But let's look here, beginning verse 1, maybe chapter 2. It says, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." So it's very significant for someone that has greater authority than yourself to recommend your integrity. So it is a very valuable thing for someone that, let's say, is your supervisor or your boss's boss. When someone has come into our place of business and find out that Rodney works for the company they work for, when they express confidence in Rodney's integrity, it's pretty valuable. You know, when someone up the food chain says, well, if we had a bunch more employees like that, we could really accomplish a lot. So for God, the creator of the universe, to say, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Have you noticed his integrity? He said the phrase in this verse, it says, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity." And I want you to to remember, it's got that H-I-S in front of it. It's a, what do you call it? A pronoun, right? So it's got that pronoun in front of integrity, and it's someone in a place of authority, in a place of esteemed, as an esteemed place, that's saying Job has integrity. It's his integrity, but Job has integrity. You know, one of the scriptures, in the one scripture says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips or not thine own mouth. You know how it's one thing for someone to tell you how good they are at something. And recently, myself and some others from our work have been to a class, and this fellow that teaches, he even recognizes that he has some problems with being arrogant, but I think he's got a real problem. And he likes to tell what he can do, and all it, I'm reminded of a time that my sister-in-law was in high school and sitting in class, and somebody in her class was spouting off about how well they was or what their IQ, I don't remember what it was. And so my sister-in-law, she wasn't my sister-in-law then, but anyway, she said, kind of made it sound like a scripture, and she said, blessed is he that hath tooted his horn, for when it hath been tooted, he shall know that it hath been tooted. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound very much like integrity if you've got to go around. You know, it kind of hurts to pat yourself on the back physically. You ever tried to do it? My arm just don't bend that way. Now, I could pat you on the back, and it's comfortable for both of us. Have you ever noticed that? You can say, I recommend my brother right here, and you can pat him on the back, and it feels good to me, and it feels good to them, and it's not awkward, but you just try to pat your own self on the back. And my elbow don't work. I can't even hardly wash my own back. My hands don't reach around there. I've got to, you know, you got to do some other maneuver to try to scrub your own back. But the Lord didn't intend for us to pat ourselves on the back. But there is something that's so valuable about some. It could be your parents. It could be your boss. It could be your brother or sister. It could be someone that you respect in the congregation, and when say, listen, that man is what he says he is. You can trust them. You can depend on them. I want to tell you, integrity is something that we need, but it is so significant to have someone that really, you might say, we all look up to say, have you considered their integrity? That's valuable, all right? Matthew verse 20, chapter 25 and verse 11, here we're going to just dip into a New Testament parable here. And Jesus said in this parable of the talents, he said, I got 25 and 21. He says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, why did Jesus tell this parable? If we go back up to the 14th verse, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So the whole thing, the whole parable is taught to be able to give us an illustration of some of the features or functions of the kingdom of heaven. And one of them is this man is going to go into a far country, and he brought his servants in, and he said to them, here, you take these talents and you be responsible for them. Now, if anybody, if I'm going to give you some of my things and I want you to keep track of them, I want someone to be have integrity, don't I? I don't want to come back and say, well, where's my stuff? And they said, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not what we're wanting. So he distributed his goods to his servants. And as he did that, he was gone for a period of time. And this is the parable. This is the story that Jesus told. And when the Lord came back and found this man that had been very, he had taken what he was given and done well with it. And he, what was the response? But, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, you know, he told this story because he wanted to give us a picture of the kingdom of heaven. And the end result of the kingdom of heaven is that we'll hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That means there was integrity there. It's going to be so valuable on that day, that judgment day, to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Notice, I want to call our attention back to it. When he's talking to about Job, he said, it's his integrity. Have you considered his integrity? All right? So let's look down in Job 2 and verse 9. And he says, I want to kind of shift our direction a little bit about integrity. He says, then said his wife unto him, this is after he become afflicted in his own body. He said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. We will all be presented with, at some point, we'll be presented with the idea that integrity is not as valuable as we thought it was. You know, nobody really, really disdains integrity. But we'll all face times when people will say, do you still maintain your integrity? Are you still going to stay there? They want you to question the value of your integrity. Your integrity. I want you all to get that. And his wife, the one that should have been the closest to him. You know, generally, in our world, our culture today, when two people get married, they promise to support one another and be faithful to one another and all of these kind of things. And here she's don't you think, I would think that Job's wife was attracted to his integrity before they ever married. You can ask my wife later, but I think that there was some level of integrity that she saw in me or she wouldn't have ever been attracted to me. All right? So here she says, do you still maintain your integrity? Why not just throw it out the window? When our families don't support our integrity, it's a difficult thing to face. You still going to church? You still live like that? I'm glad I got away from those people. You know, you're going to hear somewhere along the line, you're going to hear something along that line. You still maintain your integrity? That's not what they say, maybe, but that's what's coming across. There's no integrity on the discount shelf. It's going to cost something. There's no store brand, you know, that we go to the grocery and buy Always Save or Best Buy or something because we, you know, it might not be like buying Del Monte or Heinz or whatever, but we're trying to save some money. You ever tried to save money, save cost, and maintain integrity at the same time, it's not going to work out very good. Integrity just costs something. And you're going to have to be willing to maintain it. You're going to have to be willing to guard it and protect it. And you're going to face times when you're going to be presented with the whole thing of, you still keeping your integrity? You still do that? You still believe that? And it's going to be kind of an element of, it's not worth what you think it is. That's the idea that somebody's going to try to put in your mind. But we're going to have to be convinced. You know, I've read stories about people that were criminals, thieves and that kind of stuff, that they had a level of pride in their mischief that they wouldn't take certain things from certain people. They had a level of, you know, they might steal from me, but they wouldn't steal from an old person. Or, you know, they might do some other mischief, but, you know, there was just a line they wouldn't cross. And they believed they had a level of integrity. It's kind of a warped sense, you know. It's not real integrity. But everybody seems to have a level of respect for it. But at times, we're presented with the idea that maybe integrity is not as valuable as it used to be. Maybe you ought to just throw it out. But let's go to chapter 27 of Job and see what he... I'd like to maybe just digress just a little bit. You know, Job, it's not really a digression. Job was probably, as far as being a contemporary, he would have to be at least in my age bracket. All of his children were away from home, and I believe he had integrity all the time his children were at home, and now his children were mostly grown and had moved away from home, had their own houses, and I think about where I'm at in life. And, you know, people have expectations. Everybody in here has some kind of expectations from me. And I have expectations from you. And maybe if you're younger, you're just kind of, you know, kind of getting started, and you're kind of establishing yourself in life and in your walk with the Lord. And, you know, if you hear something, you might say, well, that don't sound like this person. Recently, we were down another place, and I was helping a brother take an air conditioner out of a house, so I carried it around the side of the, and just as I come around the side of the house, I'm carrying this air, had my good clothes on, so try not to just get myself dirty. I'm carrying it around, and his first vision of me was, I come around the corner and I threw this air conditioner out in the yard. It wasn't a very big air conditioner, but anyway, and his first thought was, that just don't seem right. He had a different expectation of me than for me to just carry this air conditioner around the yard and around the house and just throw it out in the yard. Well, what he didn't know was there was a wasp nest in that air conditioner. And one of them come out of there, and I'm holding it right head level. He came out of there and stung me right here between the eyes. And just about the time he stung me, they looked like there was 10 or 15 more coming out of that air conditioner. And the thing that I thought of was, get rid of this. And I threw it out in the yard. Well, you know, there's things that happen and people say, well, I'm not sure. That don't sound like brother so-and-so. But there, a lot of times there may be some details that we didn't know about. There might have been a wasp stung, wasp stinging me right at that moment. But we, every one of us, we begin to have expectation of integrity. And when those suggestions come along and we say, somebody says, you still keeping your integrity? You still do this? You still live like that? You still dress like this? And all those kind of things. It's a time that the enemy wants to cause a question to be created. Is integrity still worth anything? Okay? So let's go to Job, the 27th chapter. And the first verse says, moreover, Job continued his parable. So Job is responding to those that have brought accusations to him. I'd like to go down to verse 5 now. He says, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Now that's quite a statement. I will not let my integrity go. Verse 6 says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Have you ever felt bad about a decision that you made? I have. I've made decisions and then lived to regret it and wished I'd have made a different decision. And here he says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Job was, he was in a position, I wrote something down here. His integrity was maybe the last thing that he could call his own. Everything else had been taken away. It seemed like that even the confidence and the trust and the relationship with his wife was even somewhat evaporated, if not entirely. She wished he'd just die. That'd be tough, you know. If the only thing you had left that was yours, you remember the first verse we read, God pointed out that it was his integrity. He said here, the last thing, he said, I will not let it go. He says, I will not remove mine integrity from me. It belongs to who? It belongs to you. And it's under your control. And you have a choice whether to maintain your integrity or to let it go. You can either do it for integrity. You know, it's one thing to know if somebody's watching. And used to, if you looked around and nobody was in the line of sight, you knew that nobody was watching. But that's not the case anymore. You pull up to any place, you pull up and buy gas someplace, there's cameras watching you. You go in the places of retail sales, it doesn't matter what it is. They've got cameras that's watching you. They're watching you going up and down the aisles. And anything that you choose to do in that store, they probably got it. You know, if they look for it, they could probably find a picture. If you're doing something that you wouldn't want other people to see, then you might ought to stop. Don't do it. He says here, my integrity, I'm not going to turn it loose. You know, even when no one else is watching, you know, if you are true to your integrity when no one else is watching, you know how much easier it is when somebody is watching? You know, if you maintain your integrity just between you and God, whether you're out in the middle of the field or whether you're in a dark room somewhere and you know there's no cameras and there's nobody can see and you maintain your integrity there, it's just you and the Lord. You know, it just makes it comfortable for you to maintain your integrity in the face of other people, when other people are scrutinizing you. He says, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Job was he was the epitome of integrity for his generation. You think that was easy for him to go through all that he went through? I say no, it wasn't easy. That he faced some real conflict here. In Job 19 and 20, he said, my bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. You know, there's going to be times that we escape with just our integrity. It's like everything is right down to the wire, and we may come to the place that we have to decide, for integrity's sake, I will or I won't. Not because it's financially advantageous, not because it's relationship advantageous, and not because it would make us be esteemed in the eyes of other people. It's because of integrity that I make this choice. You know what I'm saying? You're faced with a lot of choices in life, and sometimes you might have heard the expression, it's the principle of the thing. Lord, help us to maintain our integrity. We may be faced with what's a relationship without integrity anyway? And somebody says, well, if you really care about me, you'll lay down this old fogey idea that you have. If it's integrity that's on the line, maintain your integrity. All right? So let's turn to the 31st chapter of Job. This will be the last verse of that the word integrity is used that we want to look at here in Job. He says in 31 and 6, he says, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. God may know mine integrity. So I want us to be clear this morning that I'm very much a proponent of the idea that we can't save ourselves. Salvation is of God. Our ability to be able to resist the devil and resist temptation is because of God's power and His grace and His omnipotence. But I believe that we have choices to make, and integrity is a choice that we make to follow God's plan. All right? He says, Job said, let me be weighed in an even balance. Let it be done in a way that is fair. That God may know mine integrity. You know, integrity is measurable. We decide with those we do interact with, do business with, have as neighbors and all of that, we measure their integrity. We feel like they are or aren't people of integrity. And integrity is not only measurable, but it belongs to the person that makes the choice to have it. So I can have integrity, you can have integrity, but you can't have integrity for me. It's your integrity, it's my integrity, and we can have integrity collectively, but we can't do it for one another. So what happens? We read stories in the Old Testament about those left men that were left-handed that could sling a stone within a hair's breadth and not miss, and 700 of them. What would it be like to come up against a force like that? What's it like to come for brethren to dwell together in unity, in the unity of having integrity, of being able to see eye to eye? That's a powerful force. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But we can have it collectively. And I want us to have, I want to challenge us to choose to have integrity. Not just, if you're just looking for integrity as a name, as a bumper sticker or something like that, you probably don't have it. But integrity is something others are able to recognize. It's something that increases in value. You young people, if you put money in some kind of mutual fund or something when you're young, as you get older, the probability of you being able to amass a substantial savings is very high. It's just very likely that you will. If you invest in integrity and you choose the right and shun the evil on a daily basis, on a personal level, in the dark, when no one's looking, when no one is around to see that you do the right thing, if you choose to do the right thing, your integrity is going to start to grow and to accumulate until those looking on, as God looked on Job, the first verse we read, he said, have you considered Job? Have you considered his integrity? I know as a young person, it was real important for someone older than me to trust me. And I remember those times when someone entrusted me in doing something that took a lot of skill and a lot of maybe ability. I remember the first time, I was pretty young, probably 17 or so. I was working for a man that had a machine shop, and he trusted me to grind a crankshaft. Now, this is a very precision operation, and, you know, a half a thousandth one way or the other makes a lot of difference. You know, and your hairs measure, I don't know, 1.5 thousandths or something like that. So a half a thousandth is not very much. And I remember him, you might say, entrusting that to me. You know how good that feels? But it didn't come because I drove the forklift into the side of the building. And it didn't come because I didn't show up on time. And it didn't come, you know, it was a step-by-step process. And I want to encourage us all here today to make the choices that causes integrity to accumulate. So I'd like to maybe close with a verse in Psalms 119. And the 109th verse, I believe it is, in Psalms 119. And he says here, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. My soul is continually in my hand. There is opportunity for danger all around us. Physical danger. Brother Lawrence talking to us earlier about working inside of a grain bin, that sounded like some pretty dangerous stuff. You could either be buried in the grain or chewed up by an auger. That's living on the edge. But he says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Did you know it's a choice that we make to either meditate on the things of the Lord and accumulate the things that will make us strong spiritually, or we choose not to. If we choose to accumulate, we can choose to meditate on the songs that we have in this book, or we can choose to let something else go through our head. Something that talks about riotous living. You know how the prodigal son decided, you know why he decided to go out into the world? Because he didn't choose to think about the things that would bring integrity in his life. I don't know that they had songs. I don't know what the worldly songs were of his day, but he was meditating on something besides wholesome things, or he would have never went out and wasted his substance on riotous living. This verse here says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. I make a choice to meditate on things that are wholesome. You know, there's even verses in the Bible that talks about that. Whatsoever things are what? Good and honest. A good report. I'm messing it all up here this morning. But those are the things we're supposed to think on. And if we do, what does it do? It causes our integrity quotient, if you will, to begin to rise and to accumulate. I'm not just interested in the name of integrity, but I'm interested in the value of it. I want it, and I want you to have it. I want us to make those choices when the dangers of life come around, the things that would be dangerous for us physically or spiritually. I want us to choose to follow God's laws and to meditate on His ways. And I believe that when we get to the end of the way, we'll be able to hear the Lord say, well done. Isn't that what we want? That's what I want. You pray for me.